Welcome to Mustard A&A's. I am Matt.
I'm Richard.
And Richard's got a cold. I had a really, really long couple of weeks. I kind of have a cold. Okay. And so this is going to be a really exciting episode.
Yep.
We discuss things in the entertainment industry that capture our interest, that come across our line of sight, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then we discuss them.
Exactly.
Or was that redundant that I already say we discussed?
I don't know.
This is already off
My
to a fantastic start.
My brain isn't really working great
start.
This morning.
Well, that's great. That's great.
That's great.
So movies, DVDs, TV, video games, some computer stuff, some melange. So I actually saw a movie yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Very excited.
See?
Saw Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah. You finally saw that. What'd you think?
Yeah, I've been trying to see it for a month. Finally got around to it. Really enjoyed it.
Yep, it's a cool movie.
Very well put together. Certainly using a cast. Like, the only cast member I know is Doug Jones, the guy in the rubber suit. That's because he was in Hellboy. He played Abe Sapien.
Well, you might have. Well, I mean, if you saw E2 Mama Tom Bien, you might have recognized. Oh, okay. Well,
But I've heard of that movie.
It's yeah. Well, the lady who plays the maid in the movie is
Mercedes,
relatively prominent actress. But yeah, it's a bunch of Spanish actors,
which is great. I mean, I really enjoyed the movie. I know as is probably the case for most Americans, know almost nothing about fascist Spain.
Yeah.
So that was somewhat interesting. Although you certainly don't come away having learned a lot more than, golly, that was horrible.
Yeah.
But a really good blending of, you know, a standard movie and these fantastic elements that I thought, and you know, and I heard it was a really downer ending, and I really didn't come away from it thinking that. I clearly see why they would think it was a downer ending. Looks like Mark's here.
Yeah, he's going to be helping putting my yard in the backyard.
I was like, who's this guy driving past in this white trash truck? Oh, wait a minute.
That's his $250 truck.
I know. It's because he's got a camper on it this time. I didn't recognize it. It's his work truck. It's okay. I retract my white trash comment. So anyway.
Well, it took me till the end. I mean, it took me actually a couple days after watching the movie to realize that the movie, and I guess we'll give a little something away, but the movie takes place in the, I mean, one way you could argue it, the movie takes place in the final moments of the thought process of this girl. Because the very first image of the movie is of her dead with the blood trickling back up into her mouth. Yeah. And then at the final movie, and then the final images of it, is it coming out? And to a certain extent, you could argue it's like Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, Jacob's Ladder, stuff like that, where you're revisiting a bunch of stuff and then it's over. I mean, otherwise, I'm not sure why they would start the movie with her death and end the movie with her death.
Oh, and you could very well be right. That could have been the intention. I did come away with it thinking that. I just thought it was an artistic choice. But I, in my defense as a dense person, I usually miss those types of subtexts.
Well, mind, it was a fantasy created in her mind to deal with a pretty abstract, horrible reality.
Well, I agree. I just thought that it was ongoing. I didn't make the leap that it was all
okay
happening.
Well, they did start with her death, but then a lot of movies do that where they'll come back and
revisit. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I completely missed that, although that's not unusual for me. So,
okay.
And as we were talking before we got started, they've now ditched the 20 as their pre-movie entertainment, and they now have like the E channel screen vision, and it was like the top 10 things E loves about the red carpet.
Ugh.
And you just want to kill yourself. It's so bad. But you know, that's we're not revealing anything new there or offering any new commentary.
Well, they're all awful. Like I was mentioning, when I saw Pan's Labyrinth a couple weeks ago, they're having whatever, it must have been the Screen Gems red carpet thing. It was banal, ridiculous, and it's ridiculous. I mean, they're basically selling this so they can make even more money from us. And as usual for those things, I talk right over them. I would never talk through a preview. I would never talk through a movie, but that's an ad. I have the right to talk through it. And so this couple comes and sits down, and within 2 seconds while I'm talking, you can see them getting visibly angry. And then they start huffing and puffing, and after about 3 minutes, they get up and move elsewhere.
Well, that's what they should have done. But you know, I will say, in their defense, maybe they just didn't want to hear you talking. Maybe
you know, we were talking quiet, and we weren't the only ones talking. I would say literally 50% of the theater was just carrying on conversation.
Because I'll be honest, when I go to a movie, if someone around me is talking, I'm real edgy about, oh, God, I don't want to hear your friggin' conversation, especially if it's high school kids talking.
I don't either, but I never have that problem during the previews. I could care less. I mean, during the advertising. Yeah. That's the point. You go in there, it's a social experiment, then you shut the hell up when the previews start.
But when they started running this
sorry.
That's fantastic. Sorry. When they start running this show, I think it resets people's expectations. They're like, oh, I'm supposed to pay attention to this.
Yeah,
but I'm not defending.
It does reset them, and that resetting is entirely to the benefit of advertisers.
Yeah,
and
it's
horrible.
F
them.
Okay. Anyway, okay. I will say it was a good movie-going experience. Not that many people in the theater. Honestly, we went to the new mall theater. It was in one of their four big screens.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
I couldn't believe it. I thought for sure it would be in one of their dinky screens.
Well, it's chugging away making money. I mean, it's still in the top seven.
I was pleasantly surprised when I saw it was on a big screen.
It just goes to show how America is growing up, because a movie can get a foreign language movie unabashedly, can get and kind of an odd movie going experience, can get a wide screen release in suburban theaters and pretty much stick with it. Yeah. I saw it probably the same screen as you did, and it was pretty full when I saw it, but plus there's not a lot of other movies they had that they would put in there, because I know
that's
particular theater changes back and forth, but yeah, I mean, it's cool. I love the fact that I'm sitting here with a bunch of other suburban hicks, and we're watching a foreign film that is a challenging film, and there's a lot of people in theater. I love that.
And I didn't hear anybody in the theater exclaim or express dissatisfaction once they realized it was subtitled.
Yeah.
So maybe the word is out on that.
Yeah, and admittedly, even a suburb of Seattle is probably different than others, because I remember, was it 2 years ago, I went over to Blockbuster Video in I was in Wenatchee, Washington, which is pretty rural, large city. But I always look for used DVDs, and I found a used DVD of some, I think it was a Chinese or a French movie that I wanted to get. But the cover was clearly done in English, and the gal at the counter goes, you know this movie's in, it's not in English, it's
Wasn't
in a foreign
Hero?
Language. Maybe it was Hero, I don't know.
We've had that discussion.
Yeah, so they sit there and like kind of quietly, surreptitiously step me through it, because she didn't want the movie going experience to be ruined for me, and I had to explain to her, yes, I look forward to foreign movies.
That's funny.
But it was clear that she'd had that same conversation with other angry customers who came back. So anyway,
so my list has so many random things on it that cool. It's nuts. I found some old notes from a couple of weeks ago that I never actually made it into anything.
Sure.
The Thomas Crown Affair sequel.
Yeah.
Apparently the script is finally written. No Renee Russo. And
she's like 90 years old at this point anyway, so what's
she looked good in that film.
Yeah, I know. That was 10 years ago at the...
As we've discussed, it's always difficult. How do you bring a love interest back for a sequel?
Yeah.
Do you keep them in and just invent some other drama? Do you make them broken up at the beginning? So
invariably, when they do, it always feels wrong.
It usually... I'd have to come up with a list of times when it's been handled to my satisfaction, but it's rare. And usually they don't even try, and the character's not even there.
Well, I can think of, like, the Jewel of the Nile and the Romancing the Stone. Jewel of the Nile's the sequel.
Yeah.
Even the Ghostbusters movies. I mean, they're comedies, but they bring back this character that was mildly a romantic interest, but it just seems completely peripheral at that point. I don't know. I can't think of actually a single one where they've kept that
up. I think there's a couple, but I'd have to work at it. Also, for the next Batman movie, Katie Holmes will not be returning.
Really?
To play the character. The character will.
Oh, really?
Katie
I wonder what's
Holmes
up with that.
Be. Well, apparently it's a scheduling conflict.
She was good in that movie, and is it the whole Tom Cruise thing, or?
Who knows? I agree that she was good, with the exception that I think she was too young for that character.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the real character, but they all
Well,
seem
it,
about...
I, that was a made-up character. That's not a comic book character. That was a made-up... I could be wrong, but I think that was made up for the movie. But the concept that she's sort of this DA, you know, with basically like an ADA. I don't know. I just thought she was too young, in the same way that Kate Bosworth was too young to play Lois Lane.
Yeah.
But that being said, I still enjoyed both their performances. So I just thought that was interesting that Katie Holmes will not be returning.
Is Nolan directing again?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Cool.
What else do we have? Oh, you forwarded me an email that they're coming out with a best of Larry Sanders DVD.
Oh, yeah.
And with a whole bunch of new bonus stuff, but within that announcement was the revelation that one of the things keeping the existing series from moving to DVD was music rights.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
I don't even remember music on the show, basically.
I can remember a few. The music I remember from the show were in-show performances. I remember Porno for Pyros did a great song called, God, it wasn't Pets, it was something else. But I remember really enjoying that song. I remember K.D. Lang did one.
Huh.
The last episode, I think, was Tom Petty, although he's apparently appearing in this, some of the supplemental material. So I don't remember any of the background music being, along the lines of WKRP, where it was actual music that they needed rights to. That was weird.
Well, you are one of the rare individuals on the planet that has that weird early DVD first season of Larry Sanders on DVD, and it's a horrible port. It was like they took it off a VHS tape, but it's like you actually have that. And I wonder if they got in trouble from that, if there was music in those.
Easily could have been. I'd have to watch them again, but...
But I'll get this anyway. I'm extremely excited because they talked about all these extras, but it's disturbing because when it comes to rights, what it boils down to is it's not that they can't get them. It's that they're not... They don't want to spend the money on them.
Well, I mean, there's a line when it's extortion.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just saying that it's... You would hope it... I don't know. It just seems crazy. Seems crazy, but I'm glad it's there because I really honestly haven't even seen Larry Sanders other than snippets in 10 years. And I love that show. And I remember how fun it was and how great it was. And all these people that you recognize now that were just... You'd never seen them before, but they were in that show consistently. People that, like... That went on to Mr. Show with Bob and David and Jenny Garofalo and, you know, all these unbelievable actors and actresses. It's just such a great, funny, hilarious show.
Absolutely.
And Hank Kingsley, my favorite character of all time, one of them.
Just played brilliantly by Jeffrey Tambor.
So at the same time, they did finally decide they're announcing the release of WKRP in Cincinnati. And I thought, wow, they did solve the music issues. And I looked deeper and realized, no, they didn't. They literally cut all the music out of the shows. Probably heavy-handedly, because a lot of times they're just literally editing scenes out of these shows to take out music. It's bizarre. I almost contemplating renting the disc just so I can see how they ruined it.
That's interesting. Everything I remember about WKRP has nothing to do with the music.
Same here. But if you watch the shows, you would see how they're part of it.
Clearly, it's in the background in the DJ booth because that's you.
I know, and it's one of those shows. Like I was saying on my email to you that as much as I love those shows, every once in a while I'll watch them in reruns, and you realize how standard 70s and 60s kind of sitcom they are. It's like a single set. They never go beyond that. It's heavily written. It feels more like The Honeymooners than it does what a sitcom would be today. Still funny, but not nowhere near as much as you would. I mean, it's more of a time capsule. Anyway.
Super Bowl was last weekend.
Yep.
I thought it was a pretty good game, despite the, you know, because even though the Bears didn't play that great, it was a fairly close game up until the end when the Colts pulled away. Interesting in that it was raining, and so many of the cameras had rain on the lens.
Yeah, I know.
Including that flyover, the one that's actually over the field on the wires. And you got to be thinking, the director's hating life when he can't use, like, his tools are reduced.
I was surprised. Usually they address this, and they address it by cutting and having somebody wipe the cameras and being ready. And they clearly there was something overwhelming that they couldn't do it here. And in some instances it worked. Like the halftime episode where Prince is raining, they clearly decided to let it be part of the show. But in other situations, I was surprised that it went on for like 15 minutes and nobody was ever addressing it. And even the flyover camera is set up to be cleaned. I mean, it is set up to be.
But it was. I don't honestly know how.
Well, they pull it off to a corner, they get up, and then some guy wipes it. They can do it pretty easily. It takes all of 3 minutes to go from, or like a couple of minutes to go from one side of the thing to the other and pull it off. I've seen them do it before.
Well, it's clearly it was raining hard enough that anything you wipe was going to be, especially for the rollover,
I know it would be just as
why
bad.
you couldn't do a better job of wiping the side cams that were the standard in
That's
this.
what I mean. All of them. I mean, those ones you could just have anybody do. You just cut somebody else, and the director says, "Okay, wipe, clean your camera."
I agree. Anyway, that was
And
interesting.
part of it was exacerbated by it's in high def. I flipped over to the low def and realized it wasn't half as noticeable. And I realized in the past that they would kind of, not wipe them, and now it just was. You could see individual raindrops all over your screen. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and the I thought the commercials by and large sucked. I'm not one of those people that gets all excited about it, but it's interesting. It's like, well, this is where they put all their money and attention for the year. Usually you see something intriguing or funny. Not really. I thought the Robert Goulet one was funny.
I missed that
I think
one.
that was a monster. I don't.
I saw one with Oprah and Dave for a
That
second. I
was a
thought that was
that
funny.
was a promo though.
Yeah,
But
I
I
thought
thought
it was
that was
funny.
funny. The talking lions were amusing, but
I don't remember any of them. The only one I remember was this one for something. It's some company that sells you business leads or
oh, say
something.
my wife and I commented on that because she gets called at work by those idiots all the time, trying to basically generate interest for the company she works
Hang on.
for.
Okay, we're recording.
So yeah, that the sales lead company, it was a horrible ad, and you can't imagine if you're going to spend that much to get it on the air, why not film something good instead of just this, hey, we make sales. It was so
It doesn't. I
corny.
could. I guess if you're in the industry, you know what it is. But I don't know what the hell they do. I don't know who their
If
target
you
audience was.
salespeople, generic business salespeople,
It
but if
seemed
you need,
weird for the Super Bowl.
I agree, but if you need leads, if you're a good, I don't know, it's just very bizarre. We watched it and I was like, was that a local spot?
It's very low tech and horrible. And I don't know. It seems to me that the Super Bowl is the ultimate generalist kind of ad, and that seemed like a narrow ad. Why would you not put that one on a? I don't know. It just seemed ridiculous.
It's one of those things where you assume people know more than you, or you assume people are smarter than you. So you assume if someone's running a company that they're smart, they know what they're doing. And of course, as you work for companies and work your way up and become aware of things, you realize actually some of these people are just idiots, and they've either lucked through or dealt with other idiots. And so honestly, sometimes the answer is just they're stupid. And I think in this case, they're stupid. I can't. Oh, the halftime show, the whole Prince thing. I have never been a Prince fan. I just never got into the music for whatever reason. A lot of people seem to have enjoyed the performance. All I could think was, my God, I hope he doesn't break. Well, A, the two backup dancers that were bouncing up and down in their high heels. I was like scared to death one of them was going to fall and break their ankle. Maybe I wasn't scared to death, but I was worried it would happen. I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm worried Prince is going to fall and break his ankle
I
with his
know.
high heels. It's like,
I
dude.
like Prince a lot. I love that halftime performance. I thought it was great. I was surprised that he went and sang other people's songs, like the Foo Fighters, but I loved it. I just thought it was
I thought
great.
he, everyone says he was like a pro. He didn't let the rain get him
No,
down. And it
he
was
was
great,
great.
but all I could think of is, dude, everyone knows you're about 4 feet
I
tall.
know.
Lay off the high heels. It's
He's
just,
always been that way. But
I know.
and he had his guitar that just was stunned when they had the big pantomime puppet show, and his guitar so clearly looked like he had a very large, elongated, round member. I was like, wow, after everything, I get the feeling I'm going to hear about all this tomorrow morning, although not much was made of it. But anyway, I thought he was great. I thought 2 years in a row, they finally realized how to put a halftime show on. Even if you don't like it, it's so much better than before when they would like drag on like Britney Spears and Aerosmith and then all this random stuff. Now they finally realize, no, let's just do a concert. Let's get the Rolling Stones and do a concert. Let's get Prince and do a concert. And they seem to have done 2 years in a row stunned when the Rolling Stones even did their new song, which is part of the agreement. I thought, wow, that sounded pretty good. And this year, I don't know. I think to me it bodes well if they continue in this vein to have some band, and maybe it's a classic band from 30 years ago, but still can rock, play their hits and get the hell off. I enjoyed that. Hopefully they'll do it next year. I have my hopes up that AC/DC. Somehow I doubt it.
Next up, they opened with Money Talks. Woo! Which is an Earl reference. Next up on the list, Joss Whedon has left the Wonder Woman project.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like it was mutual, although more so on the studio's part. They just said, you know what, this isn't... He finally got the script ready, and they said, this isn't the direction we want to go. And he said, well, that's the only direction I can take this. And they said... Toodaloo.
Wow.
And then promptly, apparently, bought a spec script.
Whedon or the studio.
The production company, Joel
sounds
Silver.
Like, sounds like they were already looking at this spec script, and then they saw Whedon's and go, you know, we like this spec script.
I'm sure that
more.
They saw, well, they probably saw Whedon's first, and then it's got to be tough to write something like Wonder Woman, and clearly he was struggling, and he finally got something he liked, and they didn't like it. So,
yeah.
You know, he said, it's not the end of the world. Now I can work on other things. And then I saw a promo. He's directing an episode of The Office. There was a little 60-second thing on YouTube about him talking about it, saying, you know, when you do something like this, you want the director to be invisible. It's all about the show and the characters. And they're showing little clips of, like, a bat gets loose in the office. They're showing, you know, the director needs to be invisible. It's not like I'm bringing Buffy over. Although a lot of characters die. Yeah, a lot of characters die. That's my stamp. That's what I bring.
Nice.
I thought that was pretty funny. So I'm sad that Joss Whedon is off Wonder Woman. My interest level in that film has now plummeted. It may still be interesting. It may still be good. Nothing against it. But where I was definitely going to see anything Joss Whedon does, now it's like, eh.
It might become the next Ghost Rider or Daredevil.
$120 million budget for Ghost Rider, and they're not doing press screenings.
Yeah, well, it's sort of prominent because it's the most expensive movie that they know ever to not do press screenings.
How did that movie get to be $120 million? How do you let...
I don't know. That's about average for a movie like this these days.
A comic book adaptation of a C-level character?
I still want to see it. Not in the theaters. Right. But I still want to see it. I mean, if it gets the tone right, I don't mind it, you know?
We'll see. Good. I'm not a huge proponent of Mark Steven Johnson, but I like the guy and I wish him well, and I just hope that it doesn't tank and doom his career.
I feel bad for him because he was like, he was like on one of their, on some blog or publicity site, he was talking about, no, this thing about no press screens is baloney. There's a bunch of Thursday screenings set up and this and that. And then within about 4 hours, all those references were quietly taken off of the interview off the website because he was clearly wrong and embarrassed about it and didn't even realize himself that his movie is being released without press screens.
You know, it's part
and
of the...
And he was also probably really confused as to, wow, shouldn't I be doing more interviews for this movie? Why isn't Nick Cage out there on The Tonight Show, you know?
Well, on the other hand, Nick Cage and Ava Green, or Ava Longoria, whichever one it is, were on doing their Comedy Central thing this weekend.
Oh, so they were setting up. They were doing something.
It was, what is that, the piece of...
Yeah.
I don't know. It was some weird promo thing, which looked awkward. Toy Story 3 has been announced.
Yep. With all the real people.
Except John Lasseter won't be directing.
But nobody expected him. But the co-director of Toy Story 2.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is, of course, that Disney was doing their own Toy Story 3 sequel.
As they had the rights to do.
Much against Pixar's desires. And as soon as Pixar was put in charge of Disney Animation, that was like number one on the list, was we're aborting this project pronto. And now they're restarting it, and clearly it will be good.
Absolutely, I can't wait. Those two other movies. I mean, I remember distinctly the first time I saw the first Toy Story in a preview screening. I was the editor of my school paper, and I remember going and thinking, "Wow, this changes everything." And it was so moving and funny. And Toy Story 2, I think I felt was better. I just liked it. It was more moving, and the music and the Sarah McLachlan and all that other stuff. I just liked so much better. And this better be even better. I'll be really disappointed. But they keep setting the bar higher. I mean, I've never felt any Pixar movie as anything less than an A effort. I just love them all.
Definitely. So I go to Fandango to look for movie times because there was a period on Friday when I thought I'd actually be off early before my boss said, "Oh, hey, can you hang out till the normal time?" And I was like, "Oh, I was 30 seconds away from signing out of Messenger, which is how my boss knows I'm there."
Yeah.
I was 30 seconds away from walking out the door, and, "Oh, hey, can you hang out?" I've already looked up movie times. Okay.
Nice.
So I was in the mood to see Smokin' Aces. Oh, yeah. I was like, you know what? I don't care if it's got like 20% Rotten Tomatoes. I want to see something stupid that's mildly amusing like that. I'm fine with the crappy reviews. But then I go to look at movie times. Fandango has this new thing where you can log in and review the movie yourself.
Yeah.
And it's right there next to the movie times. And my eye wandered to like one of the comments was, well, this is interesting because I can't stand this actor and their character was dead in 20 minutes.
Thanks.
And it was right there.
Let me guess.
No, don't say it. I'll tell you after. I don't want to ruin anyone else's.
I already
enjoyment.
Know who it is because it was given away in like 3 reviews I read too.
Oh, well, to me, that's just irritating.
It was like, I'm reading that. I'm going, you know wait a second. Why? What? And they're talking about this particular actor's somewhat recent resurgence. And then they're mentioning in passing that he's dead within like, well, and I'm like, what
okay,
the
review,
hell?
I'm a little more prepared to accept that in a review. Cause you're actively looking for information on a movie.
One actually wasn't a review. One was actually a profile to some extent of the actor.
You know, if all I want is movie times, yeah. I don't need to see plot spoilers from idiots.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, 2 inches to the left of that. So that was very frustrating for me. And I don't know. I just wanted to vent about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman show.
The Sarah Silverman program.
I saw the first episode. I haven't seen the second.
Saw the second. There's only been 2.
I thought it was pretty good for a pilot. They're definitely going for a very specific type of vibe.
Yep.
Of, you know, this is how we're going to do this show, and it's kind of sitcom-y, but it's got some sketchy elements, and there's a very... which I thought worked pretty well. I was pretty impressed. Although, Jay Johnston is always a cop.
Yep.
Whenever he's cast in anything, like Arrested Development or this, or certainly a lot of sketches in Mr.
Show. He
looks like
a prototypical L.A. bumbling cop. They have he's on a... The second show was very funny. And first of all, it was full of Mr. Show kind of stuff. Because not only is Sarah Silverman and Brian Posehn and Jay Johnson on it, but Jill Talley was on it as this demon. And but the best part about it is Brian Posehn through the entire show is wearing his Titanica t-shirt.
That's awesome.
The one that he wore in Mr. Show. And I was so excited to see that stupid t-shirt. But it was funny, and I've been reading the reviews, and some have been getting good reviews, but it's been getting some really horrible reviews because they were saying, oh, Sarah Silverman's so much smarter and better than this, and it's all scatological humor, and they're focusing on this and that. And I keep thinking, they don't really know Sarah Silverman very well at all, because that's what she does to some extent, and she also transcends that. And I thought, actually, it's really clever how she riffs on a lot of this stuff. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it was friggin' great.
I thought, but watching that show and knowing what I know about Sarah Silverman, it's interesting because usually, like, attractive women, you're like, oh, hey, I'd be with her.
Yep.
Sarah Silverman is like, there's no way I can handle her. She is totally out of my league. Yeah. Beyond... obviously any reality, like ignoring reality, you're like, she'd be cool to hang out with. We'd get along. So Sarah Silverman would be like half an hour and you'd be like, I can't handle you.
Yeah.
You are on another level. I can't deal with it. So that's one of the few women I have that reaction to. And she's hysterical and I think she's great, but wow, she's on a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's else on my, oh, did you see, I emailed you an Engadget article. Did you see the PlayStation 3?
Oh yeah, that was funny. Basically, well, I'd seen that before because I saw the I saw it listed somewhere else and they were mentioning that.
So basically, Electronic Gaming Monthly, which is a video game magazine, is interviewing one of the Sony North American reps.
Rep for Sony PlayStation 3 in North America.
Okay.
He's their evangelist.
And the guy is saying, you know, it's awesome. You can't call a retailer and find a unit anywhere. Find a PS3 anywhere. So the magazine's like, well, actually, we called 16 retailers.
Well, before they did that, he says, oh, yeah, I'll give you $1,200 if you could find one for everyone you could find.
So, yeah, and then they say, well, actually, we called 16 retailers, and half of them had stock. Some of them had like 20 or 30 units.
Yep.
Response was, well, if only 50% of them had stock, that's still doing very well for us.
He basically... put out a call saying I'd give you $1,200 per unit. And
jackass.
Penny Arcade did a funny cartoon with it too, because the guys from Penny Arcade literally, and they're right here in Seattle area, and they went to their local Best Buy, all the places, and literally took photos of all of them.
Sir Frederick Durmeyer.
And took photos of it. It was so funny. And they're adding up the $36,000 they figure they've earned from them. But what was even better, I mean, they did the interview in early January. So what's important is how they were available in early January. And there's a lot of people that had actual physical proof of how available they were. And to me, it just shows that either it shows how screwed up Sony was, because at the time, either one of two things happened. Either the guy who runs everything was so listening to his own people that they were unavailable, that didn't even realize, you know what, this isn't doing as well as he was. And, or he just simply was lying. I mean, one of those two things is happening, and both of them to me sound bode very poorly for that, for Sony. I mean, if he had been not lying, or if he had known the truth, his response should have been, oh, it's doing very well, but we've really been able to solve our production issues and ramp them up. So of course there's more out. I mean, there's a way to do it, but not what he did.
Oh, yeah,
and the fact that he did that so publicly to me tells me, boy, that is part and parcel how screwed up Sony is right now. I mean, completely screwed up.
I definitely agree. You know, something sort of related to that, Windows Mobile 6 is supposed to be announced tomorrow.
Yeah.
Monday. And I was thinking, you know, if Microsoft were smart, or whoever's handling this launch is smart, they won't overtly rip on the iPhone.
Yep.
All they'll do is they may compare it and say, you know what? Look what you can accomplish with this software. You can do this, you can do that, you can do this other great thing. It syncs up with Outlook, it does this, it does everything with Office, it does all this great stuff. And we're showing it to you right now. And if Apple's iPhone can do that, great, but we haven't seen it yet. Look what we can do. And if they just say, if they just put it out there and say, look how cool this is, and not rip on the iPhone, they will come off so much better than Steve Ballmer or Bill Gates trying to awkwardly rip it. Because that just comes across as so petulant and so unprofessional and phony. You know, everyone sees through that.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. They'll do that.
You know, and or, you know, back to our original mobile versus iPhone discussion, say, you know what? This is everything the software is capable of doing. If you want to see these features, you need to tell the cell phone companies like Verizon not to disable this feature.
Yeah.
Because it's not our fault if Verizon doesn't want you doing this with the USB port or whatever. That's Verizon's choice. You need to know that it's available on our side.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just a one-off thought. That if they were smart with Windows Mobile 6, they will be subtle.
I just wish
and just
with
say,
Pocket PCs they were upgradable. They're not. You have Windows Mobile 5 when you buy your thing. That's what you get.
Really? So you can't get Windows Mobile 6 on your thing?
No.
Why not?
Because it's...
Is it a licensing issue? Or
because it's
hard-coded?
It's hard-coded. It's part of your... it's part of your
BIOS?
The ROM. It's a ROM.
Oh, okay.
What you can do is upload patches, but those are patches I don't think they might flash change the ROM, but that you can't just switch out your whole thing.
I did not know that. I just assumed it was upgradable like a computer.
No, that's what kind of sucks, because these are really, I mean, my little Pocket PC, which is 2 years old at this point, 2.5 years old, is pretty powerful. It's, you know, it's got an ARM processor, which is what the new iPhones are running on, but it's got it's a 400 megahertz processor. That's faster than my computer was 3 years ago, but it's not upgradable, which kind of sucks. Anyway,
next on the list. Oh, after the movie, I went over to the Apple store and looking to see if they had any Apple TVs, and they did not.
Not till February 27th.
No, I asked the guy when he expects one, and he said anytime.
They said in yesterday, February 27th, and then they asked...
Well, the demo unit might be in first, and that's really all I was looking for, was to look at it.
Okay.
So he might have been referring to that.
Well, they were saying, because there's a flurry of stuff going on the last couple of days, basically saying Apple TV, not till March. And then some guy played dumb and called up a couple stores and says when it's going to be available, and everyone said February 27th. So I'll have ones to be able to see. And they'll go, because they basically are trying to get it in just before. And they go, Yes, as to whether we'll have any for sale, that's an open question. So probably February 27th is the date they'll at least get some into the stores.
Interesting.
But they're clearly having some kind of either production problem or some, or they're just not quite ready with the software or something, just not quite
interesting.
Ready.
Interesting. They did have the AirPlay lock.
Yeah.
Which, that's great, but until I upgrade my computer, that does me no good.
Yeah, yep.
What else did I have? Oh, I got three more things, completely unrelated to each other. One is we were talking about local news before we started recording. One of our local stations changed their graphics package. But beyond that, I've noticed for the past couple of months, especially in their bus ad campaigns, two of our local affiliates are really hyping up their consumer protection news.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, with Como 4, which is our ABC affiliate, they have problem solvers. You know, they will solve your problems. And with Cairo 7, which is the CBS affiliate, I don't even know what it's called there, but it's like Herb Weisbaum and that other chick that scares me.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's so not worthy of the market size that Seattle is.
I'm surprised they're putting those bus ads. Those are great things to tease today, leading into today's news, that are you getting ripped off by this particular store? But it's not a kind of thing that, as a subject matter, would drive somebody to those news stations.
It strikes me as just very small market.
Yeah.
To use that as your ad campaign.
Well, I agree with the ad campaign. I'm just saying that stuff is, even in large markets, people love that stuff. But as an ad campaign, it seems to me it wouldn't be successful. It just, because it's generic. I mean,
it just struck me as, you know, because it's, you know, you see some of these reports and it's like they start looking for anything that's sensational. It's like, I don't know, you end up with, wow, I just talked to myself completely.
Okay, well, that said, what would you do to advertise? I mean, how do you on a bus campaign? To me, you're never going to win. So the only thing you can do is just use it as a brand reinforcer. Have your name, logo, and your anchors. Because other than that, you're not going to differentiate yourself in any way. You're not going to win those arguments.
No, I'm not saying I have a better solution necessarily.
Yep.
It's just that suddenly they were both doing it at the same time, and it struck me as, wow, that still doesn't make me want to watch your crappy news.
I saw the greatest bus ad the other day. It was funny. It was an ad, and it was struck me as really interesting. It was an ad for an AIDS management drug, which in of itself seems pretty narrow market. I don't know how many people need AIDS management drugs, but it had Magic Johnson on the cover. So, and it was pretty clearly designed an urban market for people that maybe need to see this or whatever. But anyway, as we know with all prescription drugs, they have to have that copy with all the side effects or anything with the ad.
Uh-huh.
So this was an ad that one third of it was Magic Johnson and these really generic terms about living with AIDS. And then the other right hand side of the bus ad had approximately 10,000 words on it on a bus ad.
That's funny.
Meaning, to me, that stretches the credulity of what you could expect somebody to read. I mean, as we all know, in a bus ad, you want like 7 words, because anything beyond that, nobody's going to read it. And there was literally, it was like 10-point type stretched across this bus ad. It was the most unbelievable thing I ever saw. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. I just looked and I was laughing.
That is very funny.
So what else on your list?
Okay, problem solvers, Apple TV. Oh, so we're trying to go to San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Yeah.
We, meaning my wife and I, because her friend, she had a friend that moved down there within the past year, so she can hang out with her friend, and then John might go with us, and mm-hmm. we'll go be dorks at the Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they do it is, because there's a lot of hotels in the area, they have their own travel desk, their own, you know, book online through the Comic-Con website or call the phone number. And it happened to be last Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
What a nightmare. It's basically, I was, because my wife was sick all last week, so I was working from home on a work laptop, and I kind of signed off from work, but I'm using the computer, and I'm, you know, hitting reload and trying to get into this site, which takes forever because it's getting slammed by nerds everywhere. I get into the hotel, I get into the booking site, it's slow, and I wasn't familiar with the interface, so I made a wrong choice or two, which, you know, only cost me a minute, but that was all it took. So suddenly I'm completely blocked from what I need, which is like a, you know, a triple hotel room for this, for such and such nights. But it's just, I don't know, it was just impossible. It took like an hour before everything was completely booked up, because you keep saying, well, maybe if I reduce the stay by one night and then we'll figure it out. We'll try that, and you try that, and of course all your second and third choice motels are already gone. And then you're down to the hotels that aren't within the shuttle range, and they're like 6 miles away, and you're like, well, I'm not doing that if it's 6 miles away. That's completely ridiculous. And I'm one of my childhood friends actually has a small comic book publishing company, and I'm emailing her going, are you having any luck? Because I'm getting totally blocked out here. And she's saying, no, this is a nightmare. And she finally got some hotel rooms, but because she's an exhibitor and she has some special kind of access. But so the end of the story is, we might be able to use one of her rooms at a Holiday Inn, which was like our last choice. Maybe. But it was, what a nightmare of
the
trying
things you do
to.
For comedy. I'm surprised they didn't have that better figured out. Usually they've.
Well.
They have it really.
I've gone back and forth trying to figure out how could they do it better. And aside from just having more rooms, I don't know what
they could
do better.
That's what I mean. I'm surprised they didn't have kind of enough rooms. They, it seems to me at this point they know pretty much exactly how many rooms they're going to need.
I don't know if it's the hotels that don't want to give up more rooms because the hotels want to keep. Because I tried looking on some. We wanted to try and stay at a nice hotel.
Well, that's the thing. If you called the hotel directly, you wouldn't get the deal, but you might.
Well, of course not. It was like, it was twice as much. It was just insane. If you were to go through the hotel website for the few I looked at, how much it was going to cost. It was just way out of the realm of possibility. And so it's a good deal if you can book through the thing, but there's clearly not enough rooms. And it was very frustrating. It was a very frustrating experience. And I wish they would fix that. If it takes more rooms, then fine. Anyway, I just wanted to vent about that.
Sure.
And then last thing on my list, Anna Nicole Smith. And the only reason I bring it up is, as The Daily Show points out. What?
Something happened?
She died.
Oh, really?
Smartass. You had me there for a second. I was like, did you not watch the news? Well, you work a lot, and sometimes.
You know I'm with it on that kind of stuff.
Well, actually, the day that happened, one of the people I work with mentioned it. And later on in the day, I go to CNN.com, and it's the top story. Not only is it the top story, it's got the breaking news red banner on the picture, and then it's got the yellow banner of, what, you know, breaking news right now, watch it now. And it's like a press conference about finding her dead body or something. Great. I was so disgusted that was, I mean, when you see that much, this is happening right now on CNN. Like, something's exploding somewhere.
Yeah.
Many people are dying. Some catastrophe's happening. No, Anna Nicole Smith was found dead. And then watching The Daily Show and how they point out, you know, all the news coverage of it and how overblown it is and overwrought, just, you know, reinforces again how ridiculous these news stations are.
Well, of course. It's hard to know whether it's the tail wagging the dog or the dog wagging the tail. Because they know people are interested in that, but they've created that interest over something. I mean, it is ridiculous. But that said, this is a public figure, regardless who created it.
I'm not saying it wasn't newsworthy. I'm just saying it wasn't worthy of the attention it got.
That's true.
Because, you know, when a celebrity or a famous person dies, regardless of its importance in the world, it is news and people are interested. But the degree to which people went nuts about this, completely unwarranted, in my opinion.
Yep. That said, the Astronut, totally warranted. Every bit of that. I'm eating it all up. Astronut.
What if the wrong stuff? Oh, Fox already took that one.
Lust in Space. I mean, That said, I actually disagreed with The Daily Show on that. They love making a point, but then they're saying, how about local story, you know, or local thing. Basically, we're trying to say this should not have been put at a big level. And I'm going, no way, that's not a local story. This is a This is an astronaut. We've got like 20 of them. And this is what's up? There's like 20
of them.
There's
more than that in the core, though.
No, they're saying there's like 20. In fact, they're saying that there's, in terms of ones that are trying to get on a mission, there's just like a few left, and they're trying to make sure everyone gets on before they shut that shuttle down. There's not that many out there, let's put it that way. And we have mythologized astronauts, admittedly not to the point of the original Mercury 7, but we've mythologized them, and then here's the first one ever that's being charged with murder, basically. That's more than a local story. And besides, the aspects of it were so crazy. So while I love The Daily Show, I love when they're pointing out to him, sometimes I feel they get too sanctimonious. And I did not think that they were, I did not think that, I mean, it's a dumb story that has humorous overtones, because this woman, the other one was not hurt. The diaper angle, all this other stuff was clearly something that, you know, why not go for something humorous? People used to always put down the New York Times for never doing anything humorous. And then every once in a while, humor would creep into their headlines. It would be like a news story in of itself. And they go, what's wrong with that every once in a while? So anyway, that's just my take on it. I did not particularly find the coverage anything less than just about appropriate for what was going on there.
Okay.
So, and The Daily Show's, I found the Daily Show, it worried me because The Daily Show, which is such a perfect show, sometimes teeters on the edge of sanctimoniousness. And in this particular case, I was like, you know, chill out. If the only angle you can take on this is that everybody else was going overboard on this crazy story, you know, that's true in most cases. But in this particular case, I disagree. And I started to think, you know, damn. Just chill out with your whole everything else. Everybody else's news is overblown. Anyway, that's my take on it.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I love the story.
So for this week's installment of Please Stop, I've got Please Stop Running Your. This takes a minute to describe. When you come back from a commercial watching a show, oftentimes the network will run their little graphic on the left side of the screen promoting, like, what's next. Up next, The Office. Up next, 30 Rock. Whatever. And I'm watching The Daily Show, coming back from commercial, and they're promoting the Sarah Silverman program. And this graphic comes, and it takes, like a third of the screen. It's nuts how huge and intrusive these graphics are. For everyone, not just Comedy Central, but so please stop making your graphics so large and intrusive.
Mine's a week old, but okay. And I have to think it through, but I got really tired of all the coverage of the historic two African-American coaches in the Super Bowl. To a certain extent, I'm embarrassed by the fact that they're pointing that out, but specifically, it was the Coke ad. The one ad I kind of do remember from the Super Bowl. And I've seen them running it since. Please stop connecting yourself to the civil rights movement, Coke. You had nothing to do with it. You had a racist guy who ran Coca-Cola for 40 years. During the time frame that you were talking about all of these, connecting up all these things in your Coke ad, please stop running that ad. It only reminds me that of your lack of a connection to the civil rights movement. Please stop.
Okay. there was an email this week, but it was such a small one.
My mom emailed, but she emailed me and not the thing. My mom said I yawn too much.
That's because I'm boring and I'm not engaging.
And I told her you emailed to the wrong email address.
Apparently she doesn't think that we rock.
Apparently not.
Trying to remember what that email was, but it wasn't really worth mentioning. So not to put down the emailer. That's mean. All right, I think we're done.
About out of time. Short show, 48 minutes.
Wow. There's not that much coming up movie-wise.
No, what was the top 10? Oh, Norbit, clearly going to be the number one movie. Another not screened for critics kind of movie. Oh, actually, no, I think critics did get it because it got such horrible, horrible reviews.
Wow, yes, it did.
Wow, it was, and it's critic-proof. I just feel bad for it. Well, I don't feel bad for A. Murphy, but... Everybody said, oh, Dreamgirls, you know, signals this change for him. And then this is the movie he falls up on, which is, from what I understand, the epitome of everything bad about a bad Eddie Murphy movie. I thought that daycare, daddy daycare, was what everybody said was everything bad about an Eddie Murphy movie. But apparently this is. I confess, every time I saw a preview for Norbit, I laughed. I mean, admittedly, it's the stupid, horribly obese, aggressive, harpy woman girlfriend that he plays. But I thought it were funny for a 3-minute teaser. But I can imagine sitting through a movie must be painful. And it's yet another comedy that clocks in at about 82 minutes.
Wow.
And you just, it's funny how certain movies like that they can't, the joke is so thin that they cannot figure out a way to stretch it beyond, you know, even into the 90-minute territory. I find that interesting. Because when this movie appears on TV, if it ever does, it's one of those rare movies, they got to figure out how to, you know, because you can only put so many commercials in there, and they got to figure out how to stretch it.
Oh, I imagine they'll find a way to put more commercials in.
Probably. And they also have that time stretching software. It's time shrinking, where they remove like every third frame, but then they adjust the soundtrack so it doesn't, so people's voices, their tone doesn't go up. So, but they just talk slightly faster. But here they got to go in the other direction. So anyway.
Alrighty. Actually, is there any video game thing I was gonna say?
Crackdown next week. Crackdown.
I doubt.
That's the game, man.
I've been downloading the demo, but I haven't played it yet.
You know, they had demos. They had little short demos before. Maybe they're videos, but I remember downloading them several months ago, and I remember thinking, "Huh, okay." I mean, it was like I didn't get it, and now, hearing everybody talk about it, I see where they're going with it. But the demos that I saw before, where it was like you're supersized and you're blowing stuff up, nothing seemed to me anything cool. But now hearing people talk about it, I realize, oh yes, this is clearly a game for me, and I clearly have to get it the second it comes out.
There you go.
But I didn't get it before. I needed to hear Major Nelson and other people describe what they were talking about and realize, okay, now I see what they're going for, and it's exactly my kind of game.
That's true.
So I'm looking for it. And not just for the Halo beta thing. I mean, I care less about
that. Well, it's funny how the websites are like, you know, the Halo 3 beta is in stores there with complimentary copy of Crackdown.
Yeah. And I could care less because I'm only getting Halo 3 only for the I'd say 98% for the single player walkthrough. That's the only thing I'm getting for. I don't really care about playing others. I'll try it, but that's not what I'm into. I'm just not. I've learned that I don't really care about multiplayer shoot 'em ups. You know, I'm surprised. I feel like sometimes I'm the only person that doesn't care about that, but I really don't.
I care about it less than others, but I do still enjoy it.
Yeah. 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 It'd be interesting, though. And the other big one, of course, is Shadowrun coming out, which is coming out almost the same time. And it's the same release date as PC and Xbox, and they're going to be able to play together. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how it goes.
We'll see.
The only thing is, I think you need to have Vista to play it because it's...
Oh, yeah.
Because So I don't think it... I think it'll take a long time for it to get up there because it's going to take a long time for people to really get those Vista machines that can play it.
Well, I mean, of the few people, I mean, I've got some friends that play games a lot, and a few of them are pretty hardcore. And it's like Shadowrun, but it's not an RPG; it's a shooter. I don't care. I'm not playing that. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's all I need to hear is the fact that it's different from the source material.
Yeah.
Which is like an RPG from the 80s.
Oh, see, I didn't know that was something. There was another game.
Oh yeah, it was like a science fiction combined with magic RPG. Oh, okay. It's like you could be a tech elf. Like you could
okay,
have...
so it's a shooter based on that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't understand where it was coming from. I just thought it was some
at least that's
new iteration.
Yeah. I finished like Gears of War. I got all the cog tags.
Yep.
I'm excited about it. I got that achievement. So I went through hardcore, and now all that's left is killing ROM, which probably isn't going to happen by myself.
Oh, and I by the way, I'm on casual, and I can see, yeah, I could finish ROM. I just am bored by it, so I haven't finished it because it's hard, and I'm like, I don't want to make the effort. So I'm sort of not finished it yet.
I still got my 4 missions I need to do on Test Drive Unlimited.
Oh, yeah?
And I tried doing one this week, and it was one of those take a car 13 miles without getting hit.
Yeah.
And I'm like 8 miles into it and I get hit because some idiot turns in front of me and I was so pissed. And I just
have you done all the picking up the hitchhiker missions and the other ones?
I find the hitchhiker ones hard.
Some of them really are hard.
Because they ratchet, I think they ratchet the time allowed based on the car you pick them up in.
They might be. Some of them are pretty hard, and some of them are really specific. You have to get this old car or something and do them. So I did some of them. I gave up on most of those. They're boring.
So I got that. And I'm looking around. I'm trying to think. You know, I'm going to probably borrow Call of Duty 3 from you. Mm-hmm. And I still have Splinter Cell, which I played a little bit of.
Yeah.
But since I'm not good at those games, I'm reluctant to pick it up and keep playing it.
See, I love those games. I just plug through them. But I always take the walk through and just, okay, this is what I need to do next.
The one I'm looking for the most was just delayed again. The Half-Life 2 for the 360, which includes Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Episode 2. Portal, which looks amazing, and Team Fortress.
Yeah, Portal is incredible because it's all this whole physics thing.
It's driving me nuts because I never played Half-Life, any of them, on computer, so I'm not exposed. It's all new to me, and I'm stoked to play this game on the 360. Totally pushed back.
I know, and I don't know what Half-Life 2 is going to be like on the 360. Half-Life 2 is the best game I've ever played, and it's not even close. It's the best experience I've ever played. It's such a fantastically great game, and again, I don't know how it's going to feel on 360 with the other stuff, but it's there's these people that download video shots of them playing games through to see who can get the fastest through a game, and then somebody did like Half-Life 2 in like an hour, and you know, it's supposed to take like 50 hours for you to play through the first time, but they did it like an hour and 10 minutes, and you have screenshots of them doing it, and then they show the next thing. And I downloaded some of those and was watching those, and I just was getting into it, just watching somebody else play it. And I realized how enjoyable, how thick of an experience was, how well done it was. And
well, it's just
love it.
So frustrating because I want to play it so bad.
You're going to love it when it comes there. And they did redo Half-Life 1 with their new Source Engine, although they didn't really spiff up the graphics. And I've thought about playing that, but even playing through that, you realize how rudimentary it is compared to the second one. But
well,
anyway, hopefully you'll enjoy it when it comes out, because that's the greatest game I've ever played, bar none.
I think the only other one that's in the pipeline that I'm looking forward to more so than normal would be Command & Conquer 3.
I never got into those. I know they're big PC games.
Honestly, I had a demo on my Mac, and that's all I ever had. But I really enjoyed that one mission demo.
They have those all of the PCs. I never played them. And right now, I've kind of moved off PC because my PC is clearly getting old. Mm-hmm. And until I get Vista, and basically I just need to have the money. And almost certainly the thing that will drive me getting the new computer is when Crysis comes out, which is going to be a stunningly great game. Far Cry, one of the greatest games ever. And it's clearly going to be, if I build my own system and do it right, it's going to be about $1,500. And I don't have $1,500 right now, so it won't happen. But when I do, that's what I'm going to get. And other than that, I've kind of moved totally onto the Xbox, which I never would have thought I would have said that. But
yeah,
I have. So.
So anyway, that's where I'm at. So I think we're done now.
Okay.
You guys rock at mustardayonnaise.com if you wish to send a question, a comment, or a concern about Richard's yawning frequency.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening. I'm Matt.
I'm Richard.
And we're done.
All right.